Very pleased to have with us in the second hour of our show, the general manager of the Browns, Tom Heckert. Tom, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Well, Tom, again, like team president Mike Holmgren, you addressed the media, of course, addressed it with him today, state of the Browns, end of season session that you had, and a lot of topics that were covered there. Obviously, the questions that were targeted more toward you would be on the personnel side, and I know Mike deferred a lot of those to you as well, but not a lot that you're going to be saying specifically about any player, but I think the philosophy is one of the key things here, and how do you, as you're getting a better hold of what this draft would look like, I know you still don't know underclassmen yet, but as you see what is in front of you, just your sense of that preparation now and how good you feel about, as the team president said, that you're going to go out and find those good players that are going to make this team better.
Well, you know, I think it's like any year where we expect to get good players in the draft, and we're in the process of doing all the evaluations now, and but we know we need help on especially on the offense side of the football. We made a kind of a conscious effort last year to go ahead and try to help the defense just because of the switch in the scheme, and we knew we had to get players to fit that scheme. So we did make a conscious effort to stay on that side of the ball, and this year obviously I think we played fairly well on defense, and in offense we struggled. So to say that we're looking more towards the offensive side would probably be correct. We've always said we're going to take the best available player, but we do think where we're picking that there'll be a good offensive player there.
And that's the other part of this is that you made it pretty clear that offense would be a point of emphasis where you need that kind of help. But are you careful about how you approach it so that wherever you do end up picking, if you stay right where you are with right now four overall, and then we're not 100% sure until we figure out what Atlanta's season is, postseason is, where that other pick is in the first round, that your board tells you, okay, there is that better defensive guy there. I assume you're going to keep your mind open to all possibilities.
Yeah, definitely. And obviously, we're nowhere close to where we need to be on both sides of the ball. So if there is a player that just stands out, way better than the offensive player, then we'd have to think about the defensive player because obviously there's players that we think could help our defense. We envision this defense to be in the long term to be an aggressive great defense. We don't want to be just good, and we were good in a lot of areas and points scored and things like red zone defense and things like that, but we did give up a lot of rushing yards, so there's definitely areas for improvement there. So if there's a great defensive player, we wouldn't hesitate to take them, but at the same time we do know the offense needs help.
And in terms of the evaluation, you set the board with seniors, and you know you're going to obviously update. It's always about revising and updating right along through up to until the draft. But as you look at what you've been able to evaluate now based on the college regular season and then the bowl games that have been played, and now we're waiting for those all-star games to come up as well, are you comfortable that you've got enough of a handle on the great talent at all positions, or can your mind be changed dramatically by any events that happen, say, between the last, all-star game that's played and the combine?
Well, I think there's probably a handful of players, especially at the fourth pick, where, unfortunately we're picking four, but now once the season's over, it is what it is, and we're happy to be picking there, where we think we have a handful of guys that we know will be there. So now it's just a matter of fact, or a matter of sitting down and finding out which one's the best fit for us. And so, let's say there's five or six guys that we think somebody's going to be there. If we have six guys, if we're picking four, so we just have to determine which guy's the best guy for us. And so, we'll start doing that obviously after the combine and after the interviews and everything. But we have a pretty good grasp of five, six, seven guys of who we think will be there at four that we would like.
And you put some, self-imposed pressure. You said with the fourth pick, you really can't screw that up.
both ways. You really can't. If you do, you're in a lot of trouble. But, we do think there's four really good players, and we should get if we stay there, we should get a good player.
And that's the other point, if you stay there, because as Mike Holmgren mentioned, with nine picks and especially with that extra first round pick, it does give you some leeway to quote play around and do what you might do trade wise moving up or down.
Right.
So those scenarios are very much in play.
Yeah, and I think that'll be a big thing, for us both at both our first round picks, whether we want to move, down with our first pick or move up with the second pick. A lot of things can happen, and I think everybody says, oh, yeah, if you trade down, you know, you're making a mistake where, you know, they know we're going to get a player. But if we think we can trade down a little bit and still get the player we like just because somebody else wants somebody else at that position, we wouldn't hesitate to do it. If we can move down a little bit, get an extra pick, and still get the guy we want, that would be a great situation for us. So that's always out there. And, you know, that'll come, you know, the weeks before the draft that, you know, we'll start talking to teams about.
Browns general manager Tom Heckert joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And Tom, when you look at the price tag for moving in this draft, particularly moving up from four, not that there's a whole lot farther to go, but you hear a lot of speculation about what the numbers would be to get to the top of the draft in terms of what you'd have to give up in picks and all that. Can you put any credence into anything you hear now, or are those prices completely to be determined, or do you have an idea in your mind of what is realistic to spend your way up, if you will?
Well, it's kind of interesting because, you know, obviously we talked a lot about this last year when we were moving down, and you know, and I talked to Thomas Dimitroff, you know, for a long time about it, and we went through the history of the trades, and there was a trade, actually the Browns were involved in it, and that's the one we kind of worked off of, where I can't remember who the players were, but they moved quite a ways up into the first round and so we kind of worked off that because that was just what history showed it was. And you know, you hear all these things about three first round picks, that's just never happened. So to say that it's going to cost you that much to move up, it's never happened before. And there's been a bunch of trades actually from 4-1, 4-2, you know, in that same vicinity where it just hasn't taken that much to do it. You know, you can look at the Philip Rivers Eli Manning trade where it was a player for player, but if you just stayed with the picks, and it really wasn't that much. I think Atlanta moved up for Vic, and that was 1-4, 1-5, and really it was a player and a third round pick. So there's just no reason to think it would cost you three. Now it might, and if that's what they want, and to get them out of there, then you'd have to do it. But I just from a past history, it just doesn't seem that it would have to take that much.
It's pretty easy and obvious, even to the casual fan, to look at the Browns offense and say, okay, it needs help. Didn't score enough, and if you watched any two or three games together, you didn't see much in the way of sparks that would give you a sense that this offense was in good shape. But that said, your analysis of it over not just the general point of not enough points scored and maybe not enough yards generated overall, but how do you, as a personnel man and your staff, how do you evaluate? Let's start with that side of the ball. To arrive at the conclusions of where the help is needed, are we talking player by player? What's the breakdown like?
Well, you know, I think the way we look at it is it's not just, you know, obviously we didn't score enough points. We're always looking to get better at all positions, so it really doesn't. We don't really think about that as much, but we know that we need playmakers, and that's how you score points. And, you know, whether that's even, you know, you can say, you know, your offensive line, if your offensive line is really good, you're going to score points. So whether, you know, you have great players out there outside of receiver or running back, whatever, it all comes into play. So you have to be careful about saying, you know, to a certain position, a wide receiver or a running back, and is that more important than an offensive lineman, a tackle? You know, we're obviously very fortunate that we have a left tackle, but there's teams that in this league that are saying, hey, this left tackle is more important than a wide receiver or running back. So, you know, we know we need help, and it's just a matter of, you know, we have to prioritize where and what's available. You know, hopefully, you know, through free agency and the draft, we can fill a couple of those holes maybe, and then worry about the draft pick at the other position. So it's going to be a kind of a wait and see what happens in free agency, and then who's available in the draft, and you also have to think about, all right, so if you take a position at, is there another position or that same position, is it good maybe in the late first or the early second? So if we go to a different position and the first pick, we can get that another player that's not quite as good but almost as good in the second round at the other position. So it's just kind of a, you have to wait and see with the whole thing and visualize who you think's going to be there throughout the draft, not only at the first pick.
You mentioned in the news conference today about Greg Little. And you said, you know, the there's still some, you know, the verdict still isn't really in on what he is as a receiver, and I guess more specific to the question of whether he's a number one receiver. Too many drops happened, of course, in the course of his rookie year. Closed it on a quiet note. No catches against the Steelers. But as you look at him, and as maybe the symbol of what your receiving core, the best of what your receiving core had to offer in 2011. How does that influence the rest of your thinking with regard to that position?
Well, first of all, I think Greg is going to be a good player. You know, obviously he did have the drops, but he also caught 67 of them or wherever he had. So, you know, I think he is a good player. He's going to be a guy that's going to be able to get in the end zone. I know he didn't. He had one or two touchdowns this year. But, you know, he's just a big physical guy. And those are the type of guys I think we want on our team. So, for him being, I think he's going to come and help us. Whether, you know, the one, two, three, all that stuff for the receiver, I'm not really that big into it. But he will continue to help us as a receiver. Now, the other guys, you know, we've had some, you know, Mo was hurt a little bit. You know, Cribs was a little bit better. Banged up, he's playing on all special teams. So, you know, he had his most productive receiving year since he's been in the league. So, there are some bright spots there. Now we just need to add to that, and hopefully we can do that this offseason.
More is coming up with Browns general manager Tom Heckert here on a special two-hour edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford and brought to you by Madden NFL 12 in stores now. EA Sports, it's in the game. Back with Browns general manager Tom Heckert here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, talking about today's sort of wrap-up State of the Browns news conference that he had with team president Mike Holmgren as we go through our second hour of Cleveland Browns Daily. And, Tom, with regard to free agency and then the juxtaposition of that and the draft, how much do your draft plans – rely on your free agency strategy? Do they have to be simultaneous in your thought process, or are they separate, and how much will free agency influence that?
Well, I think we have a plan going into free agency. If we can do this in free agency, then it helps us in the draft. But, you know, free agency, so there's such a dynamic to it where, you know, it's tough. There's 32 teams wanting the same guys for the most part, so it's tough to say we're going to get this guy no matter what. So you have to kind of roll with the punches. You know, there's guys that we want to get and or we're going to try to go after, but if we don't, we just have to, you know, say, hey, you know, we tried and it didn't work out. But it's not we're not going to sit there and say, hey, we need this position in free agent. We have to do it. So if we don't get the number one guy, we're going to go down the list and just make sure we get that position. We're not going to do that. I mean, everybody knows how many mistakes are made in free agency. So we're going to be very selective. We are going to try to go after some guys, and hopefully we get them. But if it doesn't, then we just have to adjust on the move and figure another way to get those guys, which would most likely be the draft.
And as many mistakes as are made in free agency, and as much as this past year was an example of there's no magic formula to spending your way to success in the NFL, with regard to your former team, the Eagles, and how they approach things, people will still want to say that, you know, you've got to be aggressive and you've got to spend the money and you've got it, because it's that instant gratification approach. So you hear that all the time, I know, and then go about and do it the way you want to do it. But if you could try to explain why it's really a flawed approach if you're putting so much stock into the free agency route.
Right. Well, I think, you know, obviously the obvious concerns are they're older players, you know, to get free agency. They're a lot more expensive than a draft choice. And then you look at the team. I mean, you look at Green Bay Packers. I mean, I think they have three free agents on their team. I think that's it. And, you know, Woodson obviously is a great player, and he's one of them. So, you know, that if you can get a guy like that, hey, you know, we'd love to have that if a guy like that was a free agent, and we will try to go after those guys. But to try to say you're going to sit here and get five or six free agents to come in here and mesh as a team and be everything you thought when you go after and sign a bunch of free agents, everybody thinks, oh, they're going to be great players and great guys and all that stuff. It just doesn't happen. I mean, there's a reason why they're a free agent. The former team, for some reason, you know, some people say it's financially, but if there's really good player, great guy, everything, they'll find a way to keep those guys. And just like we do, you know, we got guys that are free agents, and we're going to do everything we can to keep them. And the guys that we don't, maybe there's something there. So you just have to be very careful in how you approach it, just because there's always a reason why these guys are free agents. And so you just have to be careful when you go about evaluating those.
And is there a certain level of caution with looking at your record, looking at 4-12, and understanding that it's far from what you want, it's a record that speaks to frustration, failure, anger, whatever, but at the same time still looking and being able to keep an open mind to what you have in place, what's working? Stuff, there are some things that are still working within right. This team, right?
Yep.
So when you judge from that how much help you truly need, I'm wondering how you go about that process of not just saying, you know what? I hate this team. We got to start over. And I know that's not your approach.
Right. Well, and for the, I guess the answer, the main question is, you know, we are excited about this team. We do think we have a lot of young talent again. And this is the first time in my career that we've had, you know, all of our draft courses played not just on special, they played on offense and defense, which to me, you know, obviously our record's not, it wasn't good enough, but these guys are going to be so much better going into next year. I mean, we had so many young guys actually playing on offense and defense, and not only just, and they were good special teams players, but so I think that's just a huge advantage for us going into next year. So, you know, if we can repeat that this year in the draft, you know, we'll be well on our way. And, you know, last year and we didn't do much in free agency just because, you know, you sign a free agent for 3 years. Well, by the time he gets in his third year, he's an older guy. When you think your team's really going to be good, that guy might not be here anymore. So I don't want to say wasted 3 years, but you've wasted a lot of financial, a lot of money in that player. So, you know, now as we get closer to thinking we're closer to where we want to be, now the free agency starts coming back into play a little bit. And, you know, hopefully, you know, we see it. I know the fans may not agree with it, but we do see a big improvement on our, especially on our talent level. So hopefully we can continue to do that and add a couple guys in free agency.
Browns general manager Tom Hecker joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. When you hear both, and I know you're part of this decision process, but when it was articulated earlier in the week by Pat Shurmur that there will be a quarterback competition, and then when Mike Holmgren reiterated today there will be a competition in regard to questions about Colt McCoy and whether he can be or is the franchise quarterback, and saying he's not ready to anoint him that. For you as a GM in picking up personnel, and Mike Holmgren saying that you'd like to see a quarterback added every year, so I'm going to work under the assumption that a new quarterback will join this team, or at least one, in one form or another. How does that influence your choice of that guy? If he's a free agent, obviously he comes here with a certain idea of wanting to, you know, be his stature is going to be important, I guess, before he would choose to sign with the Browns mainly. I think with a rookie, maybe that's not as much a concern, but maybe it is when you're picking that high in the draft for the rookie to know and think, well, if it's a wide open competition, hey, I want to go somewhere where they're going to just tell me I'm the guy from day one.
Right. You know, I think that is a little bit of a factor if you're signing a free agent. You know, obviously, if you sign a free agent, you're going to have to convince them that he's going to be the guy. So, you know, if we went that route, then obviously we'd have to, you know, talk about that. But, you know, I think, you know, when people say there's really not – when somebody comes out and says there's not open competition, you know, that sounds right. That's maybe the idea going into it. But, you know, we're going to play the best players. So whoever plays the best, I mean, we're not crazy. And Pat's not crazy. Mike's not crazy. I'm not crazy. Where if we think the guys give us a better chance to win at any position, that guy's going to play. And so, you know, I think that's probably overused analogy when you say there's not open competition. So, but, you know, I think there's a little bit different. If you draft choice, you know, then that's a little different where, you know, that the best player is going to play. But if you have to convince somebody to come in as a free agent, you know, that guy's probably going to be your starter.
The other thing that I'm thinking has got to be factored into your thought process with quarterback and offensive players in general that you might add is the new offensive coordinator coming aboard, and if he, you know, what his ideas are, what his vision might be. And I'm guessing that there has to be some consistency with what Pat Shurmur does, so it's not going to be you're not going to a completely different system, but it is going to be a new thought process and a new person's vision. How will that factor into how you pick offensive players?
You know, it probably won't factor a whole lot into it because, like you said, it's going to be somebody that has the same ideas and same vision that Pat has. So now, will he have new ideas? Oh, there's definitely, you know, and I think that's always good for an organization. You know, I've always been in the, you know, Andy Reid, you know, always told me, hey, hire people better than you. And you know, that's the whole idea here is to try to get as many good people as you can working in the same direction. So, you know, I think there will be some new, you know, maybe wrinkles to stuff, but it will be the same system. So it shouldn't be much of a difference when we're looking at personnel.
The running back position on this team, we know what kind of year it was and really a crazy one with injuries. To really not end up with any one consistent guy was far beyond what you could have expected or any of us expected. In light of that, how much of a setback does it create for the plan of filling that position? Are you kind of starting all over with that again going into 2012?
Right. No, I don't think we're starting all over. You know, we do expect Marte to be back. You know, he struggled a little bit with it, but it really wasn't his knee. It was his knee early, but then he had a calf injury. So we think his knee is going to be 100%. And we did know when he coming back, this year off the knee injury, he wasn't going to be full, 100% the whole time. That's why we went out and signed Brandon Jackson. And, Brandon Jackson, unfortunately, broke his foot early in the preseason. So it was hopefully we don't have to go through that again. But we do think Brandon's going to be back completely healthy. We think Montero is going to be back healthy. And then, we'll have to see what happens with Peyton. But we do have to make sure we have, three good ones. And we liked what Obi did for us, So we do we think we're going to be okay. But obviously, we have to be look at all different directions to see if we can get another guy in here.
The offensive line brought its share of issues. Obviously, Tony Pachos battling his way through ankle problems and finally at the end of the season was unable to play. But so his age slash health is one thought process. You had, of course, Eric Steinbach lost for the year and threw a rookie in who had been a tackle at guard in Jason Pinkston. Sean Laval, young guy, comes along at the right guard position opposite Pinkston. What is the line's status as in your mind and how it, too, factors into priority for your picking?
Well, we think we're pretty solid. Obviously, Joe and Alex are great football players. We think they're Joe obviously is a Pro Bowler, and we think Alex is a Pro Bowl player as well. So, we think those guys are good. We think Sean and Pinkston are both young, up and coming guys that are going to be good players for us. And then with Steinbach and Tony, we just have to see what their injury is first. See how well they come back from that is. But we do have to add, no matter who comes back, we do have to add to there. We have quite a few free agents, and I think we have five guys that are free agents this year on the offensive line that were backups. So no matter what, we have to replace some of those guys. So that will be a position that we're going to have to look at in both free agency and the draft. So that we will add players to that position.
And we talk about outside free agents, but internally you have some key ones to talk about as well. And these are the names that are going to be talked about throughout the offseason. Obviously, Peyton Hillis's status, DeQuell Jackson, Brad Maynard was on a one-year contract. Phil Dawson will be a free agent again. How do you intend to kind of work with all these guys going forward?
We want all of our good players back. We really do. And I talked to all the guys you mentioned and just told them, we'll see how this thing works out, but we'll start talking. Once we get through our evaluations with our coaches, which we started today and we're going to finish up tomorrow, and then next week we'll sit back and we'll start making our plans. Who do we want back and how are we going to go about doing that? So we'll start that pretty soon. But, like I said, we're going to try to keep all of our good players.
Is Maynard's situation a little more complicated just because you're going to assume that Reggie Hodges is going to be healthy from that Achilles injury, and now you're going to have two punters? And I would think with each guy, I know Brad Maynard specifically has talked about this, that he doesn't really want to compete for a job. He wants to be the guy, as anyone would.
Right. And we like Reggie. We think Reggie's a good punter. We thought he was going to have a good year for us. Unfortunately, he got hurt, but he's completely healthy now. So we expect Reggie back. And if we add another punter, which we probably will, we'll have to see who that is. But we think Reggie's going to come back and be a good punter for us.
Great. Tom, thank you so much. Appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me.
Browns General Manager Tom Hecker joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily. It's driven by Liberty Ford, brought to you by Madden NFL 12 in stores now. EA Sports, it's in the game.